Okay, welcome everybody. It's Corinne, and let's start off our study group tonight with just a short period of silence. So simply turning within to our awareness of love's presence inside. And if we notice that we keep straying from that awareness of love's presence, if our mind keeps wandering, just simply noticing that we drifted and just gently coming back to connecting with this awareness of love within. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And with the awareness of love in your heart and mind coming together to our perception of this time and place. Ah, all right. I had the impulse before we start reading today to just talk about Easter, since we just had Easter a couple days ago, and I just wanted to share that Easter really became my favorite holiday after becoming a student of A Course in Miracles, just because of what Easter represents, that there is no death, and this Easter was just really great. Rather than, for me, that idea that that there is no death, you know, that's always been so comforting to me. This Easter, that's obviously still very comforting, but it was different for me this year because this year I was much more focused on wanting to know what Jesus remembered in terms of, you know, his remembering his true identity and how the Course says that we are capable of remembering the exact same thing that he did. We're going to read it tonight, that he was just the one to do his part perfectly first. So I actually felt very moved to spend as much of the day in silence as possible and in meditation. I was telling Paula last week that it was our first holiday where we weren't we didn't talk to any of our parents about Easter plans ahead of time. Nobody just brought it up until late in the week. And we just had this feeling like, you know what, we think we want to stay home this year. And so it ended up being a really great opportunity for me to just practice stilling my mind and getting really quiet. So I had a really good holiday. And I know that those of us on the call did too. Does anybody have anything just about your experience with Easter that you'd like to share?
Well,
and it doesn't have to be as course related as what I just said.
it really turned out to be such a wonderful family day.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't get the opportunity to all be together very often, and we have little kids in the family. We have three little boys, and it was just so much fun to be on the beach. We spend Easter on the beach. Everybody brings a picnic lunch, and it was just delightful. These boys, rather than being cramped in this little house of mine, because we usually have Easter at my house, but the last 3 years we've been going to the beach just because we have these little kids, and we've had some beautiful weather each time, and it was just so much fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just a real good experience. And a man came down on the beach dressed as a big Easter bunny. So the kids really went, they were like, they were just
great.
Delighted. So,
that's
and,
awesome.
And
did you...
our 82-year-old, this wonderful friend, she's my niece's husband's mother. She's a widow now. Her husband died this year. And she lives up in Cranberry, New Jersey. And she wouldn't let them pick her up. She drove down herself and came right up on the beach with us. And it was just wonderful. It was, I mean, I don't know how many more years we're going to have with her. And I don't know. She's just an inspiration. And the whole thing, it was just really a good day.
That's nice. That's nice. That's wonderful. Anybody else on the call who wants to share just about any Easter experiences?
Well, my family is pretty much spread across the whole country. My son, he lives about 2 hours from me. And I just called him out of the blue the night before. I said, why don't we go meet somewhere in Denver and go eat, you know?
Oh, nice.
Go see each other. And he's like, oh, that sounds great, you know? So it was like an hour ride for each of us, you know? And we couldn't find anywhere to go to eat. Everywhere was like lines out the door, you know? But
oh, wow.
Just riding around, finding a place was so much fun, you know? We were just laughing and laughing and laughing. It was just really a good day, and it felt so
That's
good to
awesome.
See him.
That's
I haven't seen him in a few months.
Wow, wow, nice. That is
you
wonderful.
Know? Like we
Very
weren't stressed
good.
Out or aggravated, you know, and just, okay, let's try
like
over here.
The peace of Easter was in the air for all of us.
I think that's such a
wonderful.
Good point, because I think that's why I enjoyed the day so much. It wasn't, there was no stress involved.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it was such a pretty day, too. It was really nice out here.
Beautiful.
In Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day here, too.
Was it?
Yeah, it was very nice, and so we
You're
went on a hike.
You're in Nevada?
Yes, northern.
Awesome.
Yeah, so nice hike after I reread all the Easter passages in the course.
Oh, cool. I love doing that.
Yeah, it's fun. And so easy now that I have the iPad version.
Yeah, you can
just
like,
search.
Oh, fantastic. Great, great. I'm glad to hear that we all had a very peaceful Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we start reading then? Again, so we are, if you're in the Sparkle Edition, we're in the beginning, Roman numeral page 11. At the very bottom of that page, the sentence begins, Jesus is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If you're in the FIP edition, we're in the clarification of terms at the very back of the book, page 89. It's part 6, the Holy Spirit. If you have the original edition, I don't think this is in that book yet. So, okay. All right, I'll go ahead and read this section. Jesus is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whom he called down upon the earth after he ascended into heaven or became completely identified with the Christ, the Son of God, as he created him. The Holy Spirit, being a creation of the one Creator, creating with him and in his likeness or spirit, is eternal and has never changed. He was called down upon the earth in the sense that it was now possible to accept him and to hear his voice. His is the voice for God and has therefore taken form. This form is not his reality, which God alone knows along with Christ, his real son, who is part of him. The Holy Spirit is described throughout the course as giving us the answer to the separation and bringing the plan of atonement to us, establishing our particular part in it, and showing us exactly what it is. He has established Jesus as the leader in carrying out this plan, since he was the first to complete his own part perfectly. All power in heaven and earth is therefore given him, and he will share it with you when you have completed yours. The atonement principle was given to the Holy Spirit long before Jesus set it in motion. The Holy Spirit is described as the remaining communication link between God and his separated sons. In order to fulfill the special function, the Holy Spirit has assumed a dual function. He knows because he is part of God. He perceives because he was sent to save humanity. He is the great correction principle, the bringer of true perception, the inherent power of the vision of Christ. He is the light in which the forgiven world is perceived, in which the face of Christ alone is seen. He never forgets the Creator or his creation. He never forgets the Son of God. He never forgets you. And he brings the love of your Father to you in an eternal shining that will never be obliterated because God has put it there. The Holy Spirit abides in the part of your mind that is part of the Christ mind. He represents yourself and your Creator, who are one. He speaks for God and also for you, being joined with both. And therefore, it is he who proves them one. He seems to be a voice, for in that form, he speaks God's word to you. He seems to be a guide through a far country, for you need that form of help. He seems to be whatever meets the needs you think you have. But he is not deceived when you perceive yourself entrapped in needs you do not have. It is from these he would deliver you. It is from these that he would make you safe. You are his manifestation in this world. Your brother calls to you to be his voice along with him. Alone, he cannot be the helper of God's Son, for he alone is functionless. But joined with you, he is the shining Savior of the world, whose part in its redemption you have made complete. He offers thanks to you as well as him, for you arose with him when he began to save the world. And you will be with him when time is over and no trace remains of dreams of spite in which you dance to death's thin melody. For in its place, the hymn to God is heard a little while, and then the voice is gone, no longer to take form, but to return to the eternal formlessness of God. And let's stop there and just talk about that section. So that was about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit has that dual role where the Holy Spirit knows who we truly are, that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is still part of the mind of God that we think we left, but the Holy Spirit also perceives as we do because he's our communication link back to God, back to our source. So that's with all the miracle working and like the shifts in perception, they all come from working with the Holy Spirit again, because the Holy Spirit is the one that we need to help us remember truth, since we can't do that by ourselves. Any thoughts or questions about this?
I really think it's a very the Holy Spirit is a very practical part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm remembering to call on him even for the little things, you know, and I'm surprised a lot of the time how quick, you know, the shift will take place.
Right. You make me think, Paula, because I know you've been practicing the Course for a long time, that I feel like I'm remembering a lot now also to call on the Holy Spirit. And then I stop and think, wow, that took me a long time to remember this on, you know, a way more frequent basis than I used to, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Because it's that development
really
of trust.
I think I've been working with this. Yeah, I've been working with this material since like 1987, and I would say it's only recently that I'm really, really remembering, you know, more.
Yeah,
To ask for his help.
Yeah.
What do you think I mean, there's no real gender involved here. I always think of him, but it's really a genderless sort of
definitely
thing.
Yeah, that's where the Course is, you know, terminology, like some people get turned off by that, but you know what, like we don't have a good word that is genderless. Like it's going to be he or she. It sounds a little bit
it doesn't work
personal,
for me.
You know? Yeah. So it's got to be one or the other. And I, you know, I don't know if this is true or not because I haven't watched this video yet, but Kenneth Bach, who is the person, his website is ACIM Explained. He interviewed the woman who did the Hebrew translation of A Course in Miracles. And again, I'm saying this not fully informed, but I think in that translation they may have translated the Holy Spirit to be a she. I'm not exactly sure about that. That's what my mom had mentioned to me, so I do have to watch it to see if they talk about that. But he interviews the person who translated the course. I just thought that was pretty neat.
Yep. It's a website?
Yeah, yes, acimexplained.com. And he does a lot of blog posts, but also interviews with various Course in Miracles people. Danielle and I are actually going to be interviewed by him next week, so we'll be on that site soon, which is fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going
to
talk about Miracle Share and some other good things. I'll let everybody know.
Good.
But the practicality piece is just it is so practical. I will tell you, I think I said this to you last week, Paula, that there have been times over the past 2 weeks when I'm about to launch a new website that I'm putting together for basically it's a blog, but I need like a home base to talk about the course online. So I'm putting together a new website because my other one is really just focused more on mindfulness. And I was struggling trying to get it to do something that I wanted it to do, and I just couldn't figure out how. And I spent hours, like probably a good 2 hours, fiddling and like, you know, just trying to make it work. And finally, that little remembrance kicked in and said, hey, Corinne, ask, like, you know, ask for help. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, help. There's a part in the Ur text where it's Jesus talking to Helen. I think it's Helen specifically. And she it's about shopping and how he knows the coat that she would have picked anyway. So even the minutiae, you know, in our day-to-day doings, we can ask for help and we'll receive help. So in this example with my website, I'm struggling for 2 hours. Finally, I remember, oh, hey, you know, Holy Spirit, Jesus, whoever, you know, here you go. Like, I'm willing to let you help me with this. Help me out. And not even 2 minutes later, it was done. And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating at all. Like, it just, boom.
You
like, want to
laugh?
What's that?
I was having an awful time opening a jar of marinara sauce earlier. I mean, I couldn't, and that's what I said, Holy Spirit, help me with this. And that thing just popped right up. Open. And it sounds a little silly. But
I know it does, but it's not at all.
It really isn't. It's that practical.
It is. It is that practical. That help is just like it says here. He seems to be a voice, for in that form he speaks God's word to you. He seems to be a guide through a far country, for that is that the need for that form of help you have. He seems to be whatever meets the needs you think you have. But he's not deceived when you perceive yourself entrapped in needs that you do not have. So he's still remembering, again, that this isn't about, you know, lingering in time. This is all about waking up and healing. So we're going to be given what it is that we need for our part in the atonement that this section talked about. So, yeah, so practical. Such good stuff.
Because I think the ego would really kind of works on you. That there is a separation, and there, you know, this voice in the head, and you know, just going to the Holy Spirit with this stuff and saying, "Help, shift this thinking, please."
Yep. Yes, very, very practical. I guess the one other thing, too, that I'll say about that line that he is not deceived when you perceive yourself entrapped in needs you do not have. It is from these he would deliver you. It is from these that he would make you safe. This is where, like, it makes me think about how, you know, we can maybe develop the habit of remembering to turn things over when we don't like what's happening or things aren't going our way. Okay, Holy Spirit, help out. But it's also, you know, the good in this world is just the same side or the other side of the coin as the bad. So it's about even when, you know, the picture, we can just as much make the picture when it's good real as we, you know, might believe that the picture can be bad. It's about turning it all over to the Holy Spirit. So even when things, you know, even when things are moving right along and looking really pretty, we can say, hey, Holy Spirit, you know, I'm willing to give this to you. Like, I'm willing to share this with you, because the Holy Spirit then keeps us from, keeps it from being misused. The Holy Spirit will keep it safe, will keep us safe by, you know, our not misusing it. So I like that as a little reminder too. Hand it all over. Any other questions or comments about this section? All right, I'm just thinking if there's anything else I had. I'd have repeated this before, but just how, I guess it used to confuse me, this whole thing about, okay, it says that the Holy Spirit was, if the Holy Spirit was placed in our minds the moment that we had the thought of separation, so that was like way, you know, I was going to say way back at the beginning, but if all this is over and done with, you know, way back is just part of the whole illusion thingy, but where if the Holy Spirit was then called down upon the earth after after Jesus played his part, I used to struggle with understanding that, and it wasn't that, you know, the Holy Spirit came to be after Jesus was here. It was just that Jesus set that example of the first to do his part perfectly, the first to remember who he truly is, just like we all can also. So that's all. I'll be quiet now. All right, let's read the next section. Now, what we're going to do here, for those of us in the FIP edition, just flip the page and you're going to see the epilogue on page 91. In the Sparkle edition, it's in a different location. It's the very, very, very last page of text in the book. So if you just flip the book over and then just turn the pages backwards, it's the very last page of text. It's page 75. So we'll read this and then we'll start at the text next. Are we all there?
Just about there. Oh, yes. Here I got it.
Okay, great. All right. Forget not, once this journey is begun, the end is certain. Doubt along the way will come and go to come again. Yet is the ending sure. No one can fail to do what God appointed him to do. When you forget, remember that you walk with him and with his word upon your heart. Who could despair when hope like this is his? Illusions of despair may seem to come, but learn how not to be deceived by them. Behind each one there is reality and there is God. Why would you wait for this and trade it for illusions when his love is but an instant farther on the road where all illusions end? The end is sure and guaranteed by God. Who stands before a lifeless image when a step away, the Holy of the Holies, opens up an ancient door that leads beyond the world? You are a stranger here, but you belong to him who loves you as he loves himself. Ask but my help to roll the stone away, and it is done according to his will. We have begun the journey. Long ago, the end was written in the stars and set into the heavens with a shining ray that held it safe within eternity and through all time as well, and holds it still, unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable. Be not afraid. We only start again an ancient journey, long ago begun, but that seems new. We have begun again upon a road we traveled on before and lost our way a little while. And now we try again. Our new beginning has the certainty the journey lacked till now. Look up and see his word among the stars where he has set your name along with his. Look up and find your certain destiny the world would hide, but God would have you see. Let us wait here in silence and kneel down an instant in our gratitude to him who called to us and helped us hear his call. And then let us arise and go in faith along the way to him. Now we are sure we do not walk alone, for God is here and with him all our brothers. Now we know that we will never lose the way again. The song begins again, which had been stopped, stilled only an instant, though it seemed to be unsung forever. What is here begun will grow in life and strength and hope until the world is still an instant and forgets all that the dream of sin had made of it. Let us go out to meet the newborn world, knowing that Christ has been reborn in it and that the holiness of this rebirth will last forever. We had lost our way, but he has found it for us. Let us come and bid him welcome, who returns to us to celebrate salvation and the end of all we thought we made. The morning rising star of this new day looks on a different world where God is welcomed and his Son with him. We who complete him offer thanks to him as he gives thanks to us. The sun is still, and in the quiet God has given him, enters his home and is at peace at last. There's a part
elsewhere.
Yeah, it's really nice, isn't it? The sun, we are still, and in the quiet that's been given us, we enter our home and are at peace at last. I love that last sentence. It makes me think of another line elsewhere in the Course that says that we are as safe right now as we were before the separation happened and as we will be after the separation is over, that we literally have that safety right now, too. We just, you know, we just have put enough blocks up where we're not aware of that now. But it's just very comforting, a very comforting thought. Any thoughts about this or insights? Anything that stands out to you? Any particular sentence or anything like that?
You know, it's interesting you use the word safe because sometimes it occurs to me how that's kind of an underlying issue that I'm not always aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I think it plays a big part.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very comforting to know that.
It is.
That we are safe.
Mm-hmm.
That we're always safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. It really is.
And I guess this doubt will doubt along the way will come and go and go to come again is just a part of the journey.
Yeah. And that's also reassuring too, though, because it is a reminder that when we think we've lost our way and that we've, you know, taken 10 steps backwards, it's not that we've taken 10 steps backwards. It's that we're, you know, into there's more stuff coming up that we need to look at with the Holy Spirit and that we will work our way out of that again to again come back to a place of peace, and because the ending is certain, just like it says, once we began this journey and picked up this, you know, book for those of us, you know, who ring true with this path, we're going to get there. It's guaranteed. We can't screw it up.
Yeah,
we can think we can, but we can't.
Sure feels like I do sometimes.
I know.
Yep, but we can't. And that's where it says illusions of despair may seem to come, but learn how not to be deceived by them. And again, it's illusions of despair. It's not despair. It's also, it reminds me of that prayer, what prayer is it? Where it says, "Ye, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Again,
yep.
It's that idea that it's the illusion. Like, it feels very, very real to us because we've, you know, made it real in our for us. But it is just a shadow. It's just the Course talks about how it's just clouds. Like, it's nothing. You know, you can walk right through it if you realize that you could, that the door is open. But it's just that, you know, that illusion that we have made real for us. So that's where we need the Holy Spirit's help to remember the truth. So learning to not be deceived by those illusions or those, you know, clouds or those shadows is about that little, it's just that little tiny, tiny, tiny bit of willingness that we need to turn to the Holy Spirit to ask for the Holy Spirit's vision.
I love the line, "Trust will settle all things now." And, that's, boy, I tell you, if I could just remember that, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like having it tattooed on my wrist or something, because it really, it really is a true perceptive, you know, it helps me make a shift when I start. Oh, my daughter got involved in some situation with her gym, and she was afraid of identity theft and all of this craziness. And of course, she works with me, and the last couple of days, this whole thing has been, you know, she keeps talking to me about it. And, you know, if I say something like, "Trust would settle all things now," she wants to whack me in the head. So I have to just keep saying it to myself so that I don't. And really, what I did say to her is, "All you need is a miracle," and she liked that. She could hear that.
Right.
But the ego really gets in there and. Oh.
Yeah. And that's
but
where.
But she did have a shift today, and something very good did come of it. And I kind of reminded her of that. You know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have to be careful how I say things, 'cause
right. But still, that trust, you know, trust will settle all things. Like, that's for you. Like you can also trust that she's going to hear it in the way she needs to. That word came to you of what to say. You know, you just need a miracle. Like, there it was, and she heard it. So it's always about us. You know.
It's never out there. Thank you.
Right. Right. Yes.
Thank
yes,
you
yes,
so
yes.
much.
Yeah, definitely. The sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for ourselves. That's all we need to do. I have a story coming to mind. I'm not exactly sure how this relates, but I'll throw it out there anyway, because I shared this with you, Paula, last week. I guess it relates in that, just as an example about how, you know, minds are joined, and when how, you know, two of us decide how it only takes, the Course talks about, it only takes two to decide that, you know, you want healing, which again has already happened, between all of us here, between, you know, us and those of us perhaps in our lives that maybe we share, this with. But my mom and I it wasn't a disagreement. She just didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, and so I got angry. And I was pretty bent out of shape for most of the day, just for a number of things, just feeling in a funk. And I had said to my mom, can we take this to the Holy Spirit? And she said, yes, absolutely. And then I promptly forgot that I said that. So she took that seriously and did take it to the Holy Spirit. I said that and then just forgot about it and went on about my day. And later on in the day, I was driving in my car, had to drive out to teach, and was really, really just hoping that, you know, I would just snap out of this funk that I was in. And I put in one of my Course in Miracles CDs because I have the whole book on CD, which is really helpful for when you're driving a lot. And I was listening, and I had this experience of kind of like, it wasn't anything earth-shattering at all. It was a very, very subtle shift inside, but the best way that I can put it into words is that it felt kind of like I was sort of like lifting up out of what the Course calls like, you know, going above the battleground. And I just had this sense of just coming to stillness. It was like suddenly my mind was just like, okay, I'm just letting go of, I'm just letting go. Like I'm just letting that stillness in. And it was as if my mind knew exactly where it wanted to go. And that was just kind of, you know, back to this peace really. And that was my shift. So like the funk lifted and I was able to, you know, go on and teach and do what I needed to do. So the next day I tell my mom about this and she was like, oh, Corinne, you know, thank you so much for sharing this. She's like, you know, you said take it to the Holy Spirit, and I did, and I was like, oh, you know, I said that? And it took me actually a little while to actually remember that I did say that. And she brought up that she had been working with a line in a particular lesson. Let me see if I can...
130. It's
oh,
on
thank
page
you, Paula.
234. This made such an impression on me.
I am
234
so glad
in the Sparkle edition.
Okay, perfect. And it's 238 in the FIP edition. It's lesson 130. It is impossible to see two worlds. The sentence reads, God will be there, for you have called upon the great unfailing power which will take this giant step with you in gratitude. Nor will you fail to see his thanks expressed in tangible perception and in truth. So my mom starts jumping up and down. She's like, Corinne, you are my tangible perception. That's my tangible perception. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so we go to this, you know, section in the book and we're reading this together. And she's like, you know, your shift, she was the one that was taking it to the Holy Spirit. And that's all she could do. She could only work on herself. She couldn't say anything to me to fix it. She couldn't do anything out there with me because I was in my own myopic, you know, tiny little closed off place. But when I was ready and I opened to, I can't even say I was consciously aware of my willing. I mean, no, I was, because I did very much want a shift. I was very much willing. And actually, I do remember now, I was like, come on, Holy Spirit, show me what you got. And so I was asking. But there was her working with this, taking it to the Holy Spirit, and then seeing his thanks expressed in this tangible perception in that I had a shift that my mom didn't do anything outside of herself to make happen. It was all from her going within. So as this whole story started becoming clear to me and I started remembering that, like, I did, in fact, ask for us to take, you know, my anger at her, like the situation, to the Holy Spirit, it was just really cool that there it is, you know, the practicality again, and the reinforcement that we're going to see his thanks expressed in tangible perception, in actual Cindy in an ice cream cone, as you brought up, you know, a couple weeks ago. So I just wanted to share that story since it was coming to mind as we were reading.
What about Cindy's ice cream cone?
Cindy, do you want to tell the story again? Just when you were, it was a couple weeks ago when you were given that ice cream cone. Just.
I was having a really, really, really bad day. You know, I just started a new job and I was all stressed out and I'm beating myself up because I'm just not getting it, you know, and I even talked to my supervisor about it, and she's like, stop beating yourself up. You're doing a great job, you know. It's just I'm too hard on myself. So I was really upset, and I left work, and I went to McDonald's to get a burger and a fries, right, to bring it home. And I pull up in the drive-thru, and the guy at the window is standing there holding an ice cream cone. And I'm like, did I order that? You know? And he says, oh, it's for the car behind you. Here, you can have it. You look like you need an ice cream cone. Probably because I was just so stressed out, you know? Like I always said, you know, in the past with my kids or whoever, you know, if we're having a bad day, let's go get an ice cream cone. But I know that was God, you know, giving me an ice cream cone, you know. Stop. Stop beating yourself up. It was just really weird, really weird.
Yeah. It's delightful.
And I was just like, wow, you know. And he gave me an ice cream cone because I wasn't in the mood to order an ice cream. You know, I didn't even think about it. It's just given to me.
Yeah.
And you know, what's wonderful about it is you were there. You recognized it. These kind of wonderful things can happen to us throughout the day, and if we're not in the moment, if we're not even, you know, it just goes past us.
Right.
That's just wonderful.
Yeah, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I knew it because that's what we've always done in the past, you know. Like, and I just didn't think about it, you know. I'm just like all up in myself, you know. And you know, I'll get home and I'll just relax, you know. But it was really cool to get the ice cream.
Yeah,
home.
That is.
Talk about tangible perception.
Right, totally. And it's the whole, it's God's sense of humor, too. Like, I tell you, there's a sense of humor going on up there. That's I was just, who was I sharing this story with? It was Danielle today. I was sharing a story. This is going back a couple months ago, but just a demonstration of how I feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit, God, does have a very real sense of humor. I was, again, it was another little conflict situation that came up, and so I was writing this person a big, long email, you know, trying to get everything in it that I needed to say, all along not sure whether or not I should really send it, because I knew that doing so was just, again, that it wasn't about fixing it out there at that time. You know, I've done this enough to know that, like, I really did want to take it back to the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't sure. I there was the possibility that I still wanted to just try again to work it out there. And so as I'm writing, and again, this is a long, this is like a good, you know, page-long email, thinking, you know, okay, am I sending this or not? And I think I was probably still typing. Well, my arm twitched. Like, I don't get twitches, and I don't get big twitches if I do. My arm twitches, and my fingers, my hand lands on, like, the mouse pad on my laptop and clicks, like, the lower part of it, you know, where you click the mouse. But the cursor landed on, I must have been in, like, the draft folder of my Gmail. I don't remember exactly where I was. But it landed on a button that was delete permanently. It was gone. I could not get it back in the trash. I could not hit, like, I couldn't browser backwards to get it. It was 100% gone. And so I started laughing. Like, there I was still somewhat heated up, like, getting this out. And I was like, okay. I was like, there's my answer. There you go. Take it. It's done. So...
Sometimes you just need to vent, and even to yourself, you know.
Right.
You know,
yeah, definitely.
Not necessarily stir up all kinds of stuff, you know.
Right.
That's funny.
Oh, the chances, again, it was perfect. It was like right on that little delete permanently button. Anyway. Oh, funny. Gotta love the course.
Gotta love it.
Oh, well, should we want to read a couple, or should we start at the very beginning? We'll just read a little bit, maybe. It's the first. It's there's more than 50 principles of miracles in the original edition and Sparkle edition. Again, there was a lot of. Here's where the big difference is now between the FIP edition and these other editions are going to be. So we could just read a couple because they're very short, and we could just talk about them. So if we're in the Sparkle edition now, we're going back to the beginning of the book. On page one, it's chapter one, Introduction to Miracles. And if we're in the original edition, again, it's also page one, and it just says... Introduction. So it's actually, if we're in the original edition, it's the page before chapter one, the introduction. All right. Are we all there?
I'm okay. just about yeah. there.
Okay.
My
tell
fingers
me.
Aren't
tell
working
me when you're
ready.
Here.
I'm ready.
All right. So, introduction, or introduction to miracles. This is A Course in Miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you may elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. I've always loved that little mind twister. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Okay, how about, maybe I'll just read like the first five and we'll just take it five at a time. Okay, so principles of miracles. One, there is no order of difficulty among miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal. Two, miracles as such do not matter. The only thing that matters is their source, which is far beyond human evaluation. Three, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle. Four, all miracles mean life, and God is the giver of life. His voice will direct you very specifically. You will be told all you need to know. And five, miracles are habits and should be involuntary. They should not be under conscious control. Consciously selected miracles can be misguided. So let's just stop there and talk.
Miracles are habits. Talk about that, Corinne.
Miracles are habits. So, well, if we read the next... So in a way, I feel like when we're... As we go through this development of trust, what is reinforcing for us are these miracles, are these shifts, you know, that happen as we become willing, turning to the Holy Spirit and then getting back that shift in perception, that miracle instead. So it's about building a habit of turning to the Holy Spirit and miracles being, did you have something else to say? I heard a breath in. I didn't know if you're going to add anything.
Well, it's really what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking about the next sentence. They should not be under conscious control. Consciously selected miracles can be misguided. I was going to say, I'll say, because if it was up to me to decide, you know, what miracles to perform, like, of course it's going to be misguided. So that's like the story of in the text of the course, it talks about a bunch of different, like Freud, Edgar Cayce, and it says in the text that Edgar Cayce burnt himself out because rather than ask, you know, which miracles will you have me perform and which should I not perform, he performed miracles for anybody who came to him, and he literally burnt himself out. So it's, again, about us not consciously making a choice for a miracle, but instead just having that willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit and letting that shift happen for us.
I think that was one thing I said to my daughter today when I said to her, you need a miracle. And mm-hmm. and she was so open to the idea of, yeah, but we don't know what that is. And that
mm-hmm,
takes
mm-hmm.
all that heat off of you, all the
yeah.
pressure off of you. You know, and it helps me to relax around the idea, and it helps me to kind of let things go a little easier because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. I wouldn't even need the miracle if I just got out of the way and didn't create this nonsense.
Uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh.
it's when I think I know that, you know, the trouble begins.
That is
so
perfect.
It really is so necessary to get, you know, to get that. I don't know.
Yeah, and to know that we don't know. I love how you just said that about, you know, you need the miracle, but we just don't know what it is. So you're not deciding the outcome, which is perfect. That's exactly the place to be. So that's great. I know nothing.
Really? Oh, the ego. I just can't tolerate that. You know.
Right. That's right.
And nothing unreal exists. The ego's unreal, so it doesn't even really exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's much ado about nothing.
That's right.
Shakespeare knew what he was talking about.
I love that.
Oh,
you're totally right. Much ado about nothing.
That's what the whole thing is. The whole.
Yep.
The whole thing.
That's perfect. Oh. Any other thoughts or comments or questions about any of these first five principles of miracles?
I love the idea that there's no order of difficulty among miracles.
Mm-hmm.
That one isn't harder or bigger than the other, because a lot of times I think that's what holds back the asking. Oh, no, there's just nothing that could be done about this.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's like,
That is so reassuring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one isn't harder or bigger than another. They're all the same. Very good. Well, I'm
now, why
thinking,
would all expressions of love are maximal come at the end of that first? That doesn't make...
Let's see. There's no order of difficulty among miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal, meaning that all love is all there is. So there's no degrees in love. All the expressions are at the highest... Or at the highest, I guess.
Okay, and that's where nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists.
Right.
So love is all there is.
Yep.
Somebody should write a song. Oh, no, wait, I think that was already done. I swear to God, the Beatles knew what they were talking about.
Right. What do you think? Should we read a few more? Let's read a few more. We have a couple more minutes. Number six, miracles are natural. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. Number seven, miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. Number eight, miracles are healing because they supply a lack in that they are performed by those who temporarily have more for those who temporarily have less. Number nine, miracles are a kind of exchange. Like all expressions of love, which are always miraculous in the true sense, the exchange reverses the physical laws. They bring more love to both the giver and the receiver. And 10, the use of miracles as spectacles to induce belief is wrong, or better, is a misunderstanding of their purpose. They are really used for and by believers. So there's some good stuff here, too. I guess I'll say number seven jumps out at me. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. That's meaning that, you know, we can't purify ourselves. We can't, like, fix it and make it nice first and then take it to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to look past our errors to the truth beyond. So it's the Holy Spirit then that does that purification, not us. We don't need to clean up anything first. We need to just take it right over. Any other thoughts or comments or questions or insights about any of these next ones?
Miracles are a kind of exchange. Now, that I don't quite.
Miracles are a kind of exchange. Like all expressions of love, which are always miraculous in the true sense, the exchange reverses physical laws. They bring more love to both the giver and the receiver. Well, I immediately think of miracles as a kind of exchange as, I mean, that the exchange that happens is that we're giving our stuff to the Holy Spirit and getting back the miracle instead. So
oh,
that's what I think of. So that's like the exchange.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I think that's it. Maybe there's another way of looking at that too, but that's just what comes.
Because if you're not willing to make that exchange, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's that
exactly.
Willingness to make that, to say, here, I please take this.
Please.
I say that a lot.
Yeah.
Please.
And then 10, so we're not having miracles to convert anybody or to put on a show. It's just what happens when we are wanting to find truth through the Course, through the way that the Course is teaching us, I should say, with turning to the Holy Spirit. So it's not about putting on a show, having anything flashy happen, although I guess that can happen. I talked to someone on Miracle Share who said that she actually had the experience. I don't know that this would be a miracle, but actually dropped something and it just disappeared. And she was like, I think that was her first experience of, something more than what meets the eye. But anyway, well, we're at the top of the hour. So this has been fun, ladies.
This has been wonderful.
Thank you again for a great group. And we will pick
I'm
up.
I'm feeling kind of concerned because I'm going to be starting an art class on Wednesday nights.
Ah.
But it's from 6:30 to 8:30. But I did talk to the instructor, and I might be able to do it from 6 to 8 so I could get back here in time.
Okay.
But you don't do this any other evening, do you? I mean,
it's just
Wednesday
nights. Yeah.
So
well,
I'm
let me know. Talk. Or if you're not on the call, we'll know where you are.
Yeah,
hopefully it'll work out.
I'm going to make it work out because this I just feel is so important.
Yeah, it's really fun, really nice to just have the reinforcement of the group to come together with. So
absolutely
good.
Okay,
very
thank
good.
You.
Thanks,
bye,
everybody.
Cindy.
Have a good night. We'll
bye, everybody.
Pick up next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.